Welcome to the Nevermore Podcast. My name is Larissa Hunter. The Nevermore Podcast is the podcast arm of the Three Little Sisters. The Three Little Sisters is an independent publisher that publishes a wide variety of titles, including children's books. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about animals as main characters. This is a very special edition of Nevermore because we have a very special guest, an actual child. Say hello, actual child.
Hi.
So this is my daughter. I'm not going to use her name because we're going to be streaming this on YouTube and all over. And as a parent who lives in a world where social media is kind of scary, we're just going to go with calling her child. So today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about the importance of animals as main characters. So I know that my child here really loves stories, and particularly about bunnies. And I know that because one of the very, I think, third or fourth story that we ever read was one called Flopsy Mopsy Cottontail. And that involved, of course, the famous rabbit, Peter Rabbit, from Beatrix Potter. And in that story, she named one of her little stuffed animals, right? Yeah, and named one of them after the bunnies in the story. So may I ask you, child, is it important for children, do you think, to have animals as main characters?
I don't think it could be important, but it kind of teaches them about different animals. I don't think it's like you don't really need to.
But you think it's kind of important because it teaches them different things?
Yeah.
What do you think is the difference between having a story that's told by an animal, let's say, over a human? What do you think the main difference is there?
Because humans' lives are different than animals. And when, like, an animal's explaining what's happening, it's different because, like, the animal lives differently than a human.
Okay, and do you think that sometimes in the stories where they are being told by animals that perhaps we can learn about different kinds of feelings because animals feel differently than humans?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is one of your favorite stories that kind of involves an animal as a main character?
I really like The One and Only Ivan. That one's really good. Or, like, The Velveteen Rabbit.
And what do you like about Ivan? What is the what is your most favorite part of him as the main character?
And because of how he like acts, it's like funny to think about how animals would act when they're like not around humans.
That was true in another book too, wasn't it, where there was a main character that was a hamster that was telling his life through the cage and sort of looking at his humans in a different way.
Yeah.
And Ivan similar to that, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you find that stories that have animals as the main characters are easier for young children to read? I know you're not very young, but when you were little, do you think that it was easier for you to sort of relate to an animal?
No, it's probably easier for me to relate to a human because I was one.
That is very true. You are a human and not a bunny rabbit. So what do you think some of the problems are with having animals as main characters? Do you think that kids have a hard time relating to them because they're not human?
Maybe because they act differently than humans, so it'd be kind of confusing.
What do you think is confusing about having animals a main character?
Because it's, like, confusing on how they act differently than how a human should act. So, like, the main character was, like, a monkey, and then the kid could be like, wait, what, am I supposed to act like this, or?
So you think that it sort of teaches the child how to behave in general?
Yeah.
What do you think has been sort of influencing you in your life? What do you think? Do you have an animal that sort of influenced you, or more like a human writer that's influenced you? Or I should say, human main character.
That's hard. There's lots.
Okay, well, give me a few. It doesn't have to be just one. What are some of the main characters that you feel kind of make you you?
That's hard. I don't know.
You don't know. You have a wide variety of books that you feel that formed you?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you think about animals as the main character, do you think that there's kind of a problem with animating those characters? Like, for example, when you look at, you know, cartoons and the creation of animated movies, do you find that those type of character adaptations, when it comes to animals, are easier for kids or worse for kids?
Maybe a bit easier.
Do you think that there's a reason why it's a little bit easier to see an animal in a film? Like, let's look at Zootopia, for example, from Disney.
That might be harder because it's confusing because they're acting like humans.
Right, so do you think that there's a possibility that we could learn things through animals parroting human behavior? That's a lot of big words, but you know what I mean. When a human's
No, I don't think so. I think that it's hard, that most kids would probably be better, like, learning from humans and animals as characters.
And why do you think that? Do you think it's just because animals are so vastly different than us?
Well, they're not that different because we are animals, but they act differently.
In what ways do you think that animals act differently than people? Like, can you give us some examples from some of the stories that you've read?
Because in the, when there was the, well, most books make animals kind of act like humans. I haven't really read a book that has, like, an animal acting like one.
So they've mostly taken on the role of being a human.
Yeah.
So when they do that, like this book, Ivan, you were mentioning, do you think that you learn anything different because it's an ape? Or could Ivan be replaced with a human and you would learn the same thing?
If he was replaced with a human, you wouldn't learn the same thing. Because in that book specifically, it was talking about, like, how animals are being taken away from the wild. And that wouldn't make much sense if there was a human being taken away from the wild. You wouldn't really learn anything about that.
Do you think it's important from learning about taking care of the environment that those stories are told from animals? Or do you care if it's told by an animal or a human?
I think it's more important for animals to be telling, like, the stories about, like topics that animals are on. Because if a human's talking about it, I feel like we don't really listen as much as to, like, an animal dying from it.
Is that because you think that we as humans kind of look at animals as they are sort of helpless, and so when they're in trouble, we kind of feel the need to go and help them?
Maybe.
Well, what do you think it is that makes us want to go, oh, I want to go, like, for example, look at Smokey the Bear, right? You know who Smokey the Bear is.
Yeah.
Why do you think that people don't start forest fires? Is it because they're, you know, responsible, or is it more because they remember that ad through Smokey the Bear and they go, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to hurt animals. I don't want to hurt people either, but do you think there's more of a drive to think, like, they could be destroying the whole ecosystem that an animal lives in?
Yeah.
Do you think that animals can help tell stories in ways that make us see something different about ourselves? Like, for example, some of the stories that we've read have been from, you know, for example, Native mythology, right? We have the stories of the trickster wolves. Do you think that there's stories that you have been read to or have read that sort of let you learn, like, different cultures, different backgrounds, different types of things?
Yeah, because it can teach you everything, basically, but
you just don't find that there's a difference between if an animal was teaching it to you or if your mom or dad was teaching it to you?
No.
Okay. So let's dive in a little bit to Beatrix Potter, because it's one of our favorite books to read, or was our favorite book to read when we were littles. And this one involves, you know, the curious and quite funny little Peter Rabbit. And Peter Rabbit kind of gets himself in lots and lots of trouble. You know, he goes into gardens that he shouldn't go into. He steals food that he shouldn't steal. And he's a real big problem. But what do you think that Peter Rabbit is kind of, in a good way, is teaching us?
He's teaching us about, I feel like he's doing more of human morals than animal morals, because he's teaching, like, kids not to do these things, like going into other people's gardens and, like, how he does with the Mr. Fox. And, like, yeah. Like, he's teaching more human morals than, like, animal morals on how you could help animals. He's teaching, like, more, like, what you shouldn't do, but if you're a human.
But I also think, in a way, he's kind of teaching us what's not okay to do, you know, like approaching land that isn't ours, taking what you should not take. But it's also teaching humans that you must share the world around you. For example, in the story, you know, he steals from Mr. McGregor, and it's not good to steal. However, does Mr. McGregor really own the land? And it's sort of a conflict, right, that we have in life, as do we own the land or do animals own it? Because we all share this one planet. So do you think that there's a way that humans sort of learn how to live with nature because of stories like Peter?
Yeah, maybe. I think because of what you just said, like how they teach you some different things about, like, respecting other people, but is it really theirs to, like, keep?
And so, furthering that, let's move to another book, The Velveteen Rabbit, because you mentioned that before. So The Velveteen Rabbit, of course, is an extremely sad story because it involves the loss of something. And to me, this book kind of really hits children very hard because of the fact that it talks about really the loss of a stuffed animal, because in The Velveteen Rabbit, the little bunny happens to be stuffed, right? And he gets tossed into a burning pile because of the fact that he might have caught scarlet fever.
Yeah.
And in that moment, because of all the love that the little boy had for the Velveteen Rabbit, right, he comes to life. Do you think that that is a really difficult story for children to listen to because it deals with death and the loss of a stuffed animal in a way?
Yeah, I have really hard times with getting rid of things and losing things. So that story was really hard for me to read, because when he lost a stuffed animal, it was really, really, really sad.
Because I think children can relate to that, right? You have things that are important to you and mean something to you. And to see that kind of loss through a child is really hard, because you are a child, right?
Yeah.
So do you think that sometimes when animals are used as main characters or sort of secondary characters, then in a way it's sort of letting children learn concepts like loss, death, and things like that, but in a much slightly easier way than it would be like a human dying? Or do you think it's worse if it's something that's personal to the child?
I think it's equal both ways on worse, because, like, I think because it's both loss, and I don't think kids really deal with loss that well, to be honest. So I think either way it's going to be really hard.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think it's a little bit hard no matter which way you slice it, but The Velveteen Rabbit is a very difficult book to read. Now, let's look at a much more funny sort of series of books, Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss predominantly features animals or animal-like characters, such as the Cat in the Hat, and we don't really know what a who is, but there's definitely lots of those. And the most famous of all of these is Horton Hears a Who. So in Horton, the most important message that we learn about there is that a person is a person, no matter how small, right? And this story is really good because I kind of feel like it teaches children about bullying, right? Because in the story, as you remember, Horton's walking around trying to save this little nation from absolute destruction, and all these other animals in the forest are trying to stop him, right? They're trying to stop him every which way they can. So do you think that in that book, for example, that kids can kind of learn anti-bullying?
I think so, but I don't know if they were really, like, they were sort of bullying him. I feel like it was more like they just didn't believe him and they wanted to be right.
In a way, though, don't you think that that's a big problem being a kid, is that no one believes you and everyone thinks you're wrong? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard because kids aren't respected, right? They're not treated like everyone else. You're always assumed to be wrong. And it's really hard to believe that. And Dr. Seuss didn't believe that at all. He believed that children were pretty smart, pretty intelligent, and could figure out concepts that were bigger than themselves. And I think that that is very, very true. When we think about children learning things, you do seem to pick up things pretty quickly, especially from stories. And it seems like a lot of the stories that we read to you as a child together were sort of laying the groundwork for things that you would do later or become later. Like, I kind of feel like you discovered your love of art and illustration from books like, you know, Beatrix Potter and Alice in Wonderland, and your story of imagination and stuff from any of the, like, Disney princess books. And so do you think now, as you're kind of getting towards teenage years, do you think that it's harder for you to read books that have animals as the main character?
No.
It's not any harder for you? So you don't find that you're losing that ability to see them as main characters?
No. It was not really hard ever.
No, but I mean, do you think it's harder now that you're older and kind of like looking at books a different way?
No.
No. Okay. So what do you think is important for kids to take away from animals as main characters in books? Like, what do you think are some of the most important things that you can sort of take away from that kind of book?
That because most of the animals are teaching, like, human life lessons, I don't think it really, like, matters whether you're learning it from an animal or a human, depending on the book. But it's probably, like, as you said, it's probably easier to learn from an animal because I feel like we kind of think of animals as, like, helpless things.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And what do you think, do you think that animals as the main character are only valid for little tiny kids, or do you think that anyone can enjoy a book that has the animal as a main character?
Anybody can enjoy a book, like any book. There's no age limits on books.
That's very true. There is no age limits on books. Let's go into a few of the weird, dark sort of animal characters. So let's talk about the infamous Cheshire Cat. So what do you think is so fascinating about the Cheshire Cat for kids?
Maybe because it's different than a regular cat. Like,
and do you
like something that would come out of your imagination?
So you really think it's like hitting that imagination? And why do you think that is? Like, what is it that kids see about? Because I'm an adult and I know what I see in the Cheshire Cat. I see a sort of like quirky kind of insanity that lives within all of us. It's a healthy kind of insanity. But what kind of thing do children see when they look at the Cheshire Cat? Is he like scary or dark, or does he symbolize to you something that is possible? Because that's what you see when you're drawing, you know, things like animals or cats.
I think it's like it adds like a bit of like fun to the story. Like, the story's already pretty crazy, but it just makes it like a little bit like this is like a part of everybody. Like, even if you don't want to admit it, we all know you're just a little bit weird. And so it's kind of like the Cheshire Cat is kind of like resembling that.
Oh, sort of his quote that everyone's mad here, right? Everyone's a little bit crazy. I think that's a really valid point. I would agree with you. I'm trying to think of what other books sort of have, you know, kind of evilish main characters that are sort of animal-like.
I mean, you could count the, I forget his name, like, it's gone, but the fox from Peter Rabbit.
Oh, I think his name is just Mr. Fox.
Maybe.
I think that is his name.
You can count him, because he's kind of evil, like, trying to stop the kids.
Yeah, and also, I guess you could count, you know, the big bad wolf. You know, he's kind of fierce and kind of evil, creeping around trying to kill those pigs. So there are some, you know, bad guy animals. But, you know, I don't really think that kids see them as sort of that way. Here's a good example. Like, what about Red Riding Hood? Do you think that, even though the big bad wolf is not really the main character of the story, are you, like, afraid of wolves because of that story? Like, does it make kids afraid if there's, like, bad guy, you know, animals?
I mean, sometimes, like, if you were to watch, like, a scary movie with, like, this, like, the scary, like, evil thing as an animal, that might be more scary than if you were to read a story. But I don't really get scared from books.
You don't find that books are ever scary?
No.
Okay. And let me see, what else can we talk about in this podcast? Animals as main characters are kind of a curious thing, and most of them came out of the idea of doing picture books for kids, doing, you know, teaching them alphabets and 1, 2, 3s. And then they sort of became adapted and grew into things like Alice in Wonderland and Beatrix Potter, and now sort of have been somewhat, I call it Disneyfication, where they've been sort of Disneyfied and lifted to this place of, like, they've become sort of the standard that is what animated movies are based on. Like, every animated movie has some sort of animal in it. So, whether or not that animal is the main character or not, I don't know, but some of them, they are, or seem to be, or at least next to the main character as sort of like a co-main character, as if the main character split into two pieces. So as you kind of look to the future, what advice do you think that you can give to writers from a child's perspective? As what do you think is important when they're writing from an animal's point of view? What do you think is really important for writers to know from kids?
I think maybe it'd be important to, like, maybe, that's hard, actually. I think they should try, maybe make the animals more animal-y, I should say, I guess. Like, more how an animal would act than the, like, how a human would act, because, again, as I said, like, it might be hard for kids to understand you're supposed to act like that, but then, in some cases, you're not supposed to act like that animal, but then when it's a human, you're supposed to act like that animal.
Okay, so you think they have to be really careful using them and making sure that they're using words that describe them more like an animal than a person?
Yeah, because it could be hard sometimes when you're, like, reading, and in some cases it's acting like, if it was a monkey, in some cases it's acting like a monkey, but in other cases the monkey's acting like a person, and it could be kind of hard to separate those two because it's the same character.
I see. So they shouldn't be writing them in both cases.
Yeah.
Stick to one method. Okay. What do you think is important when it comes to the illustrations inside? Do you think it's important to have illustrations, or do you think that no art at all is okay?
I feel like the little kids, it's easier to put in illustrations because they can imagine it better. But maybe the more adult style books, it might be, like, a bit harder to imagine it. So add in the illustrations.
So you think you would prefer art then?
Yeah.
Okay. And what style of art do you like inside a book? Do you like black and white or full color?
Full color.
And why do you like full color?
Because you can more, like, imagine what they look like more. It's easier to, like, tell what they look like.
So it's interesting, you keep saying that same thing, and I think this is a valid point for writers to realize when they're writing, is that children don't visualize via words at first, right? When you read something, yeah. you're not piecing it together in your mind, right? So yeah. you need an image to look at to be like, oh, that's what it looks like. Is that yeah. what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
So kids should be given more drawings to look at so that they can form an idea in their head of like what that is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a very good point because most children's books have been illustrated and they only seem to start taking pictures out around your age range between the ages of about 8 and 13. It seems like there's less pictures and more words. Although, as you've been introducing me to, right, there's now this whole range of graphic novels. So are any of the graphic novels that you read, do they ever have a main character that's not human, or are they mostly human?
Mostly the ones that I read are mostly humans.
Okay. And do you find that that's very typical, or is it there like a whole selection of different kinds?
I think it's really typical because like most of the graphic novels I read are all true stories. So okay. It's like from the author's perspective of the story. And I don't think any of the authors are animals.
Although there are some animal books that are based on true stories, you know, like you have that, yeah. It's a dog's life book or a dog with a purpose. There's like a whole line of, you know, books that were based on animals. Yeah. What do you think is better in writing, talking animals, or is it okay to have a mix of talking and non-talking animals?
I feel like talking animals if it's the main character, because then they can actually, like, narrate the story, you know? But if they're not really the main character, I don't know if they really have to talk.
What do you prefer when it comes to narrating? Do you find that it's better for them to have dialogue or just be sort of without quotation marks sort of writing their story?
I feel like
dialogue first person
can sometimes be better. I don't really like first-person stories.
Okay, what is your preference, first, second, or third?
What's second person?
It's not like the main person talking from their head. There's like other people involved. More like the dialogue ones that you like are not first-person narratives. They're second or third person usually.
Either second or third, yeah.
Okay, so you like a lot of dialogue because it's just easier for you to read that way?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What else do you think that you can say about animals as main characters? Is there a particular animal book that you really still like to this day?
Yeah, there's lots.
Okay, give us some examples of the ones that you still will read even to this day.
Like, The One and Only Ivan, as I said again. There's, like, that's actually a really hard question.
Yes, we like to put people on the spot on this podcast.
And I really like pretty much any animal book still. Like, unless I really didn't like it when I was a kid. Like, I will pretty much read any of the animal books.
Yeah, I don't really think there was one that you did not like as a child. You really liked all of the books we read. I think the only one that you didn't like was some of the older fairy tale ones that were kind of a little bit boring to read. Yeah. But other than that, you actually liked a wide variety of both illustrated and non-illustrated books. But your favorite was definitely the Beatrix Potter and Velveteen Rabbit, like you said. But your number one favorite was also the same that was my favorite as a child, which was Are You My Mother? And that is still my favorite book. I think it's the cutest book in the whole world about a little bird who falls out of his nest and gets lost and he can't find his mother. And he wanders all through town being like, Are you my mother? And asking a cat and a cow and a big machine that's like a digger type machine that he calls a snort. And eventually he finds his mother, and they get reunited and put back in the nest. And I remember many, many times you would say, read it again, Mom, read it again. So it was, I'm pretty sure, you know, one of your favorites. And do you ever get inspired by the books that sort of have animals as main characters to write your own stories that have animals? Or do you get mostly inspired by other things?
I don't really like to write books with animals as main characters. Like, I usually only go with humans.
And what about drawing? Do you prefer to draw animals or people?
Humans.
Humans?
No animals.
It's difficult to draw animals.
Very.
Okay. Well, I really want to thank you for your time on this podcast, and thank you for giving us a child's perspective. We hope to have you on again, because it'd be really cool to hear what you have to say about a lot of the different topics that we talk about. As she knows, and I'm going to let all of our listeners know out there, that the Three Little Sisters absolutely supports childhood reading. We believe that it's very important for children to read, especially from 5 and under. Reading from a young age expands their vocabulary and their ability to focus and learn. We have a wide selection of children's books that are all coming out, including everything from Twinkle Twinkle, Goop, that is the story of how you formed you. We have Little Bird Book of ABCs, the Bundle Bunnies, 1, 2, 3, Come Count With Me. We are having Moriafell coming out really soon, which we're super excited about. And my child, who's on the other line here, on the other end of this call, has been read several pieces, and she's really excited about it because the story is pretty good. Wouldn't you say? What do you think of the story of Moriafell so far?
I really like it.
You really like it. So we can't wait to have other kids out there who really like it and really want to read it too. We also have Honor, Fortune, and Glory coming out, and a whole ton of other things. So we're really excited to bring you guys many, many children's books. But we have further than that. Other than children's books, we have some beautiful nonfiction coming out from famous author Maria Kulvig. We have some nonfiction coming out from Kadolfer Gunderson. We have some fiction coming out from both Maria and another author as well, Jean Swart, from all the way from South Africa. There's so much coming out this year that we're super, super excited about. So
super excited. Go buy it before we run out.
Yeah, before we run out. So check out our website at www.3littlesisters.com, where we bring stories to life. Thanks, and have a great day, everyone.